The General Motors Hour. General Motors Holdens, through the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations in all states, present The Sign of the Cross, starring Alastair Duncan. This is John Deese introducing our play. One of the most powerful and successful plays ever presented on the theme of persecution was that written by Wilson Barrett, The Sign of the Cross. It took London and then the whole English-speaking world by storm. Since it was written 60 years ago, it has been revived countless times and has been made into a film more than once. The story of the Roman prefect Marcus Superbus and the Christian girl Mercia, set in the atmosphere of the corrupt court of Emperor Nero, is one to which audiences have never failed to respond. Tonight, as a special Easter play, the General Motors Hour presents a radio version starring Alastair Duncan as Marcus with Coralie Neville as Mercia. The play will be produced by Harry Harper. Ladies and gentlemen, Act One of the General Motors Hour production of The Sign of the Cross.
The citizens of Rome have another of these Christian dogs. Hey, Servilius?
I know the fellow. I've been watching him for weeks, but Caius got him. So I lost Nero's reward of 200 sesterces. Plague on Caius.
Christian hunting pays well these days in Rome.
Come, Strabo, throw the dice.
Sorry, my attention was drawn away. That fine fellow passing yonder.
That's Vitorius. Captain of the guard to Marcus Superbus.
I know it. Oh, I'd like to be Marcus Superbus.
Or Jupiter or Apollo, eh? As well wish to be a god as to be Marcus Superbus. Next to the Emperor Nero, he's the richest man in Rome.
It's an accursed shame that one man should have so much and another nothing.
Some of it may be ours, if we can but trap a Christian or two. Meantime, the dice, Strabo. Strabo.
Hmm?
Two strangers come. See how they meet? With caution, with curious stares. Keep playing, my Strabo. But keep your ears and eyes open. You saw? With his staff on the ground, he drew the sign of the cross.
What art thou, stranger?
A fisherman from Galilee.
Who sent thee hither?
Paul of Tarsus, apostle of him they crucified.
Dost thou tarry long in Rome?
Long enough only to give Paul's message to the brethren. Where meet they tomorrow?
At the grove next the Sestian Bridge.
At what hour?
The tenth.
How many?
Hush, friend. Even the stones of Rome have ears. Let us not tarry here. Come away a little.
My Strabo, I smell money here. Christians, these. Here's sport and money both. Follow, dear Strabo, follow. This Christian is worth 200 sesterces, and Nero will make a torch of him.
Cease, I say. What are ye then, men or wolves? Are white hairs no longer reverenced in Rome? Fabius, my father, are you hurt?
I feel no pain, my daughter.
But there is blood upon me. Look, men of Rome, are ye not ashamed? Let me lead thee home, my father.
Not so fast. What say ye, citizens? Shall a pair of pretty eyes and a baby face rule Rome and Rome? No!
I beg of thee to let this old man go. There is no harm in him. I know him well. He hath wronged no one, unless it be a wrong to nurse the sick, comfort the weary, help the helpless. All these things hath he done. Would you slay him for that?
Here is the prisoner!
What hath this old man done?
He is a Christian, master.
Vittoria, silence that fellow.
Nay, good Marcus, I have done no wrong.
What is thy name, girl?
Mercia.
And thy name, old man?
Fabius.
Is this maid thy daughter?
Nay, sir.
Nor any kin of thine?
I have no kin.
Why is she with thee, then?
She came between me and the rabble when they did set upon me to protect me.
Protect thee? The lily protect the tottering oak. Girl, what is this man to thee?
He is my teacher.
Teach you in the school?
No.
Of what sect are you?
I am a philosopher.
God! Hear the street!
Girl, if ever thou shouldst be in need of a friend, come to me.
Monsieur, come close. Shall the dove seek the hawk for friendship?
Am I the hawk?
Thou art Marcus Superbus.
Well?
One woman, more or less, is naught to thee. This child is purity, innocence itself.
Innocence is a rare jewel in Rome, and for its rarity much desired.
Thou hast done a noble action in saving her from the rabble. It will be recorded in thy favor. Do not stain that record with evil. Let this maiden go her way unharmed.
I do not hinder her or thee. Go thy ways.
Come, Mercia, come.
The loveliest face I have seen in all my days. Young. Innocent. Alone in this heartless city. Vittorius! Follow them. Find out where they live, of what family the girl is. Quick, learn all you can of her.
Yes, Excellence.
Well, Vittorius, where left you the girl?
In a small house, Excellence. The fourth on the right from the statue of Hercules.
What know you of the inhabitants of that house?
The house is suspected, Excellence.
Of what?
Of being a meeting place for these Christians. The aedile of the district has set a special watch upon the house.
Who is the aedile?
Licinius.
Oh, the gods protect these people, then, if he do suspect them. Vittorius, return at once to the house. Learn from the spies what is to be done. If any arrest is ordered or contemplated, let me be advised instantly. You understand?
I go, Excellence.
Licinius, a wolf with ravening fangs.
Marcus?
Hail, Berenice!
And so, my Marcus, what is the latest gossip?
That Berenice is still Berenice.
Is that a compliment?
If I say the sun is still the sun, can I pay its light a greater tribute? If I say the rose is still the rose, can I extol its sweetness more? If I say Berenice is still Berenice, can I pay Berenice a higher compliment?
Marcus, shall I be honored?
How, gracious lady?
With thy escort home.
Thou hast thy slaves as escort, lady.
Know you not what it is to love, Marcus? Have you no heart?
Heart?
Marcus, news travels fast in Rome. I have met just now with Glabrio. He saw you, he says, rescue a lovely Christian girl.
Glabrio's tongue is not to be relied upon. The result of an all too early devotion to the god of wine.
Marcus was overcome by her beauty. That is what Glabrio declares. Who is she, this Christian girl?
There is no evidence that she is a Christian. A young girl and an old man were attacked by the rabble here in the street. My guards protected them, that is all. It appears that Glabrio saw too much or heard too little. Not an uncommon failing with men of his habits.
It is said that men in wine speak the truth.
Another and still older proverb for thee, Berenice. When the wine is in, the wit goes wandering.
There is more that Glabrio says. He says that Marcus has a rival in the fiery Tigellinus. Not only for Nero's favor, but for the hand of Berenice. He says that Marcus and Berenice, united, need fear no Tigellinus. What say you, Marcus?
Marcus alone has yet to fear a Tigellinus.
Then I watch this present meeting with interest.
Meeting? Ah, Tigellinus.
Well met, Prefect.
Hail, Tigellinus.
Hail, gentle lady. Prefect, I was on my way to seek thee. The Emperor greets thee and sends thee this.
Is it so urgent?
Most urgent. Read the scroll.
To my well-beloved servant Marcus, greeting. The accursed sect of the Christians is increasing. It is my wish that they be exterminated. They plot together to destroy my throne and life. They will not bow down to me, nor call me Caesar, nor pay tribute unto me. They are murderers and fanatics, venomous and bloodthirsty. Spare none of them, men, women, or children. Slay those who are dangerous. The rest I will give to the beast in the arena. Thou hast full power. Show mercy to none. On thy life I charge thee to be faithful, Caesar.
Tigellinus, your news seems to trouble the noble Marcus.
It should not.
I kissed the mandate of the emperor.
And will obey it, Marcus?
Can you doubt it?
Go you home, my lady. Let me add to your escort.
Gladly, good Tigellinus. Farewell, Marcus. The emperor hath chosen wisely. Torture and death to all Christians without distinction of sex. A wise decree and a timely one. Farewell, Marcus.
Farewell, lady.
Excellent stuff, Vittorius, till they are gone.
Well, what is it?
The young girl.
Mercy.
Yes, Excellent. I was watching the house as you did command when I saw the door cautiously open. A boy came out, looked carefully up and down the street. Not observing me, he beckoned, and the girl Mercia, with mantle o'er her head, came softly forth. I doubled up upon them to tell thee. See, here they come.
Stand aside, Vittorius. Let them approach without seeing us.
Indeed, I am safe now, Stephanus. Return to Fabius.
Nay, I will not leave thee, Mercia, till I see thee within thine own doors. The streets are not safe for thee.
Indeed, they are not. Nor for thee either, boy.
Let me attend thee, lady. In the streets of Rome, this boy is no protection.
I thank thee, sir, but I do not need thy help.
Dost thou fear me, lady?
I have been told to avoid thee.
By the old man, Fabius.
Him and others.
Ah. I have a bad reputation.
Yes.
Now, perchance I deserve it, and perchance do not. Perchance I have been a trifle spoiled. It is long since I desired anything ardently. Today I have had a revelation. There is, I find, in all this worn-out Rome, one thing I really want and really mean to have. Canst guess what thing this is?
I do not wish to try. Please let me pass.
That is the very woman, Excellent.
Tigellinus. Back so soon, my friend.
Who is this woman, Prefect?
This lady's name is Mercia.
This man denounces her as a Christian. If it is so, it is your duty to arrest her.
Arrest me?
Be sure I do know my duty, Tigellinus. Not only to the emperor, but to myself. Vittorius, attend this lady. See her safely home.
Have a care, Marcus. If thou dost neglect thy duty...
Enough, Tigellinus! Vittorius, I hold thee responsible for the lady's safety. Go. Lady, farewell.
Boy, thou lovest Mercia?
Yes, Fabius, I do love Mercia.
This Marcus seeks her destruction. As yet he knows not she is a Christian, but she is suspected, and thou hast been seen in her company. It may be that thou wilt be arrested. They will think that being young thou mayst be induced to betray us and Mercia.
Never.
So thou wilt be faithful?
Unto death.
Then speed thee now to our brother Milos. Tell him the brethren are gathering at the grove next the Sestian Bridge at the 10th hour, and we require his presence. Be faithful and vigilant, my son. Keep to the byways. See that thou art not followed or watched. Go. And the spirit of him we serve be with thee now and forever.
Amen, my father.
A brave lad and faithful.
But still a child, Fabius. Why choose a child for such an errand?
Because he is less likely to be suspected, Titus, and followed. Until he was seen with Mercia, none has met him with the brethren.
Now that he has been seen, take my counsel, brother. Choose another messenger.
After tonight, I will. Wait. Mercia, my daughter.
I have been followed, father.
By whom?
I know not. As I left my house, I saw a man with a mantle o'er his face start up from behind a pillar. I tried to elude him.
He did not see you enter here?
I think not.
Thou seest, Titus, how the brethren fare in Rome. hunted like beasts. Neither age nor sex is regarded. At the last carnival in the amphitheater, Nero threw young maidens into the arena where hungry tigers leapt upon them and lapped up their blood, and they died, glorying in their shepherd. Others who would not abjure the savior he coated with pitch and set them on high poles and burned them as torches to light up his infamous orgies, and as they burned, they sang the song of the Redeemer. Were they not faithful unto him?
Yea, brother, even as thou art, and thou wilt be my daughter when the time comes.
Hush! Who knocks?
One wishing speech with Fabius.
Do I know thee?
Open and see.
Go thou within, Mercia.
Yes, my father.
Hail, Fabius.
Who, with a cloak and hood muffling up thy face?
Wait with thee.
A friend. Who art thou?
My name is Taras. I'm a boatman on the Tiber. Yesterday thou wert accused of being a Christian. Art thou?
What gives thee the right to question?
In Rome today, those who have been in their innocence misled may also be destroyed.
Of what speak you now?
Of this strange new worship, this foreign superstition.
Know you of what you speak?
I know these Christians worship strange gods and work in secret for the downfall of Caesar.
I have heard no such tales, sir. It has been told me that they worship but one God, and he the everlasting. That they seek the downfall of no man, even such a thing of evil as Nero, the monster you call your king, whose mouth is full of bitterness and curses, under whose reign Rome has become as a wanton, filled with lust and drunkenness.
Brother!
You are bold, old man. That speech heard by other ears than mine would cost thee thy life, and the lives of all who consort with thee.
Thy errand here, Tyros.
I come as a friend to warn thee. Beware of Tigellinus. Beware of Licinius. They seek thy life and the life of the maiden thou dost call Mercia. If thou be what men do call thee, followers of this Nazarene, this Christ, for the sake of the maiden, cast her from thee. Thou art old and thy time is near, but she is young, with all young blood in her veins. Let her live her little life in happiness.
Happiness? Dost know what that word means? Mercia, Mercia, come hither.
Yes, my father.
This stranger desires me to cast thee from me, that thou mayst live in the world as others live who know not the truth. Wouldst thou so live?
No, my father.
He says there is happiness.
He knows not of what he speaks. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. But how should Marcus Superbus, prefect of Rome, know this?
Marcus, the prefect.
Maiden, thine eyes are as keen as they are beautiful.
I should have thought Marcus would pay others to spy for him.
By the gods, old man, and so I might. But there was someone here I wished to see for myself, and would go far and through much to behold. Lady, there is at present no evidence against thee. Let there be none. For as the Caesar liveth, I will obey him. For thy sweet sake I would do much. But my duty I must also do. So be warned in time.
Who's there?
Milos, thy friend. Haste, I bring bad tidings.
Enter, Milos.
Stephanus has been arrested by Licinius and Tigellinus.
Stephanus?
Is that the boy I saw with thee?
Yes.
Who is this?
Marcus Superbus.
What have he here?
Let that rest. Whither have they taken the boy?
To the prison of the district.
If the boy knows aught against thee, fly the city. For he will be made to speak by torment.
Prevent them doing their duty. I may prevent them doing more.
Farewell, lady.
We cannot stop the brethren. They are even now on their several ways to the meeting place by the waters of the Tiber. Let us go to them, to pray or to suffer with them as he wills. Though the wicked encompass us around, he will be with us. And though we go down into the depths, he will uplift us.
Cornelius, repeat before this boy what thou hast told me.
Excellence, I followed him to the house of one Milos. I heard him say, the brethren meet at. Then he saw me and stopped. I then denounced him to Licinius.
Again, boy.
Art thou a Christian?
I serve my master.
Where dwelleth he?
By the right hand of the Father.
Answer directly. Art thou a follower of the Nazarene, this Christ? The whip. Follow ye this Christ.
I'll not deny my master, I do.
These brethren, where do they meet?
I will not say.
Let us know the meeting place.
I know it.
Again?
Thou canst slay my body, thou canst not kill my soul.
Answer and save thyself further pain.
He who suffered for me will help me.
Enough. Guards, put him to the rack.
Aye, excellence.
I will tell you nothing. He will sustain me.
Licinius, if we could but drag Marcus into this. Marcus is Nero's favorite, but excites Caesar's fears and he will believe anything. He starts at shadows, shudders at the fall of a leaf. Each bush to him doth hide an assassin. Poison lurks in every dish. The very air is peopled with the ghosts of those he has slaughtered. Marcus, I verily believe, doth love this girl Mercia. If we arrest her, Marcus's temper will bear no opposing will, not even that of Nero. He will go to any length, run any risk to set her free again. What more simple than to urge him onto some act of folly or disobedience that will bring him into disgrace with Nero? The rat hath found his tongue.
Will thou answer now, boy?
I dare not.
Again!
He's fainted. Bring him hither and some wine. Down there. Give him wine. Answer, boy.
The grove.
Where?
By the Sistian Bridge.
The R?
10.
Their names?
No, no, I cannot.
You shall, or the rack shall drag it from you.
Stop! Marcus! The rack! For this child! Soldiers, set him down.
Thou darest presume?
Presume! Set down that boy, I say, or Caesar liveth, thou shalt take his place.
Marcus, this is treason against Caesar. And as Caesar liveth, thou shalt answer it to Caesar.
I will answer it to Tigellinus. I have Caesar's orders, and I execute them as I think fit.
Come, Licinius, we waste time here. Guard, see to the boy. Captain, get thy men and follow me.
Yes, excellence.
Pain.
Drink this. It will revive thee.
Hey, let me die. Kill me. In mercy, kill me. I have betrayed them.
Betrayed?
It was not my heart, but my tongue that spoke. I told them where the brethren meet tonight. Mercy.
What of Mercy?
She will be there. Save her.
The place?
The grove by the Sestian Bridge.
Vittorius?
Yes, Excellence.
Vittorius, meet me with thy men in the Sestian Grove. Though we anger Nero himself, we must save the girl Mercia from Tigellinus. Go, Vittorius!
Faithful, love them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Love one another, be patient in sorrow, rejoice with them.
Father, Fabius, Mercy, our brethren, we're betrayed.
Tigellinus and his soldiers are upon us.
Stay, brethren. Brethren, by the cross I implore you, stay firm and meet your enemies like Christians. Be not afraid. Let us pray together. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. He leadeth me into green pastures.
Fall upon them, spare none of them!
Art thou the leader, old man?
Kill me, but spare him!
No one is to be spared! Back from him, girl!
Hold, Tigellinus!
Again, Marcus!
Hold, I say, in the name of the Emperor! Slay no more! Take them all prisoners!
Tigellinus, leave this girl to me.
And now Act Two of the General Motors Hour production of The Sign of the Cross.
Tigellinus, why come you here to my house with these tidings?
Perhaps to whet thy appetite for gossip, Berenice. Art not provoked to learn that when I found a nest of these Christian vipers and would have exterminated them, your noble Marcus steps in, spares them, and has taken one of the women to his palace?
Why should I be concerned with Marcus?
Of course. How foolish of me to speak of Marcus. And let us talk of something else.
Well, not so fast.
The topic of Marcus and this Christian girl can scarcely interest thee, Berenice. Thou hast said as much.
Women are always interested in a love story.
And this is a strange love story indeed. 'Tis said that Marcus, the richest, most powerful man in Rome, doth madly love and vainly woo this Christian girl, while Berenice doth pine in vain for him.
Do they say that of me? Didst come to tell me this?
Nay, but to serve thee.
How canst thou serve me?
By helping thee revenge thyself.
Oh, this girl, this Mercia?
And on Marcus.
How?
Marcus has full power to judge and punish these Christians. Well, he has chosen to spare this girl Mercia, and keeps her a prisoner in his own palace.
Repeat this to Nero, not to me.
Ah.
Why not?
And Poppaea the Empress. If she should learn that I had tried to injure Marcus, on whom she dotes, the gods be with me.
What then do you propose?
That you do visit Poppaea. Tell her of Marcus's infatuation, and induce her to influence Nero to send this Mercia to the lions.
A contemptible piece of work, which I care not to undertake.
Then let Mercia live, and let Rome still pity Berenice.
It is a hard decision.
Revenge thyself for the slight that has been put upon me. This man, Marcus.
This man, Marcus. Yes, pray go on. Am I in the way?
Eavesdropping, Marcus?
No, Tigellinus, though you were discussing my character, it seems. Lady, am I in the way?
Stay, Marcus. I wish to speak with thee.
And I am about to go. Remember, Berenice, what I have said.
Farewell, Tigellinus.
Farewell, Berenice.
You sent for me, lady?
I did. And most unwillingly thou hast come.
How can I serve thee, lady?
Am I so very repulsive? Others do not think so.
Others? All are agreed. Patrician Rome can boast no fairer daughter than Berenice.
Marcus, canst thou not see what is in my heart? Dost thou not know this is no girlish fancy, but the deep, strong love of a woman who never loved before, whose whole nature hath been held back so long that unless the floodgates are unbarred, the pent-up tide will burst all bounds and engulf me, body, mind, and soul. Marcus, pity me.
Berenice, by all the respect that man can show for woman, if friendship, if devotion...
Friendship? I ask for love. You offer friendship.
I offer all I have to give.
All that thou hast to give to me. But to another? What sayest thou to that, Marcus? Marcus, caught at last by the baby face of a miserable Christian girl whose life is forfeit to the law. Marcus loves a wretched, nameless Christian, a thing despised and loathed, the companion of thieves and murderers, the scum of Rome, and outcast.
Stop, I will hear no more.
You shall hear
me. Pardon me, lady, but I will not. I take my leave.
You shall not go till you've heard me. Love is so near to hate that one step, one hair's breadth past the boundary line, and love is merged in loathing. Have a care, Marcus. Berenice will not be scorned and bear it.
Does Berenice stoop to threaten?
Stoop? Ye gods, can I stoop lower than I have done? All Rome knows this girl is in my house.
I care not.
Rome laughs and swears you plead in vain.
I care not.
Is it true? Is it?
Lady, it is true. I do love Mercia. I do plead with her. In vain.
Marcus, the great Marcus, refused by a Christian woman.
Stop! And understand me, Berenice. What Rome may say of Marcus troubles me nothing. What Rome or Berenice may say of Mercia may trouble me much. What this Christianity is, I know not. But this I do know. If it makes such women as Mercia Then Rome, the whole world, will be the purer for it.
You dare to speak of her thus to me?
And why not, dear lady?
How if I repeat your words?
Repeat them if thou wilt.
To Nero?
To Nero.
Take care, Marcus. Measure my determination with your own, and add to my advantage the hate I bear her, and Nero's power to injure you.
Lady, farewell. No good can come of further argument.
Marcus, stay.
No, lady, I have stayed too long.
Die too long.
Caesar! Tigellinus, whispering, plotting. What treason is toward?
Nay, Caesar, I did but say that had thine august mother not made the emperor of Rome, thy godlike voice had given the empire or the world.
Ah, yes, yes, I can sing. Even my detractors admit I'm an artist.
In sooth, Apollo must lay aside his lyre when Nero sings.
Apollo? Oh, yes, a statue of myself in gold. All gold is Apollo. I'll have it done, Tigellinus. The wife of Garamantes has insulted our empress, our love Poppaea.
She dare?
Refused to attend her feast. Her delicate health forbade. We'll physic her delicacy. See that Garamantes is warned that his absence from the world alone can atone for his wife's absence from the feast. Bid him open his veins. If he lives when dawns tomorrow's sun, not he alone, but he and all his brood shall die ere it doth set. See to it, Tigellinus.
Gladly, Caesar. It is but justice.
And we want new games in the circus. How fares this Christian conspiracy?
They still plot against thy sacred life, Caesar.
What? Thou knowest this, and yet they live? What means this? Have I not ordered their extermination?
Indeed thou hast, Caesar.
Well?
Licinius and thy servant have done all that was in their power, but...
But what? Our sacred person in danger, and our orders not obeyed? Who dares hesitate when Caesar commands, eh? Hey, come, I command thee.
Since thou dost command, thy servant must obey. Thy prefect, Marcus.
Marcus? No, not Marcus. You have a care. If thou dost belittle Marcus, the best officer we have.
Licinius knows I speak the truth. Marcus did stay my hand when, for the sake of thy sacred life, I did put one of these Christians, a boy.
Poppaea, my lovely Poppaea, thou dost come in time. Who hast thou with thee? Ah, Berenice, the fair Berenice. Poppaea, here's treason. Foul treason towards our sacred selves.
Treason? Who says this?
Tigellinus, with Licinius to support him, both to accuse Marcus.
Of treason?
Nay, Caesar.
What else but treason to Caesar if he protects those who plot against Caesar's life?
There has been some exaggeration here.
Ah, good.
I know the whole truth, Caesar. Berenice hath confided it to me. And I was even now about to seek thee and ask for thy authority to set the matter right. Possibly zeal for thy most sacred life hath induced Tigellinus and Licinius to overestimate the importance of Marcus's error.
What is it, eh? What has he done?
Marcus is a man, and lacking thy constancy, great Caesar, is too easily caught by a pretty face. Of all these hosts of Christians that we hear of, he hath spared but one, and that one a mere girl, who for the moment hath caught his wayward fancy.
Oh, is that all? Only one girl, eh? Yes, yet even a girl.
Maybe dangerous. True, my love. And so it were wise in thee to give power to Tigellinus to take this girl out of the hands of Marcus and leave thee to deal with her thyself.
Yes, of course, deal with her myself. Tigellinus, thou shalt have power. Oh, accursed be the whole race of Christians who seek our sacred life. I'll throw them to the beasts. I'll dress them in skins of wolves and set the bloodhounds on them. Oh, that will be sport. I'll soak them in oil and tallow and set them blazing. I'll light Rome with them. Come, Tigellinus, I'll write the mandate. Come. Oh, seek my life. I'll exterminate the vermin. I'll blot them from the earth.
Now thou hast thy desire, Berenice. Marcus will soon forget this girl once she is put out of his sight. Then Berenice shall have her wish. Nero shall command that Marcus wed thee when the Christian girl is dead.
Tell them, Glabrio, tell them the truth. Tell them Marcus has deserted his guests because they sicken him. Say, if you will, that a strange sickness has taken hold of Marcus. That the purity of one Christian girl makes their licentiousness repugnant to him. Go, Glabrio, tell them that.
Yes, Marcus, I'll tell them.
One Christian girl drives Marcus to insanity.
Excellence, the girl Mercia.
Leave us, Vitorius.
Yes, Excellence.
Sir, thou didst send for me.
I sent for thee, sweet Mercia, to feast upon thy beauty, to hear the music of thy voice.
Wouldst thou do me a service?
You have but to name your wish.
Send me back to my fellow prisoners.
Ask anything but that.
That and their freedom is all I wish.
I cannot grant thee either.
Why? Thou art all powerful.
I cannot give them freedom because the law is stronger than its officer. I cannot send thee back to them because my love for thee is stronger than my desire to serve thee. Let us be friends, lady.
With the good, friendship cannot exist without respect.
And thou hast no respect for me?
How can I respect a man who hath no respect for himself? No man respects himself who hath no respect for woman. For the teacher hath said that woman is the fount of all that is fine in a man.
I have met few such women, lady.
Women are too often what men desire them to be. What man desires that a woman other than his own kin should be good?
Good! Right, wrong, virtue, sin, what are they? The accidents of habits and conditions. A mass of contradictions surrounded by bedeviled human beings raking and scratching for that which is not there. Happiness. Happiness is a rare thing, lady. A very rare thing, and seldom comes when sought for. If it comes my way unsought, why should I reject it?
Happiness is seldom found because men seek it in pleasure. Pleasure and happiness are not always akin. Pleasure is of the world. True happiness comes from God.
What God, lady?
The only God, the everlasting.
Why didst thou become a Christian?
Why does the sun shine, the flowers bloom, the birds sing? Because he willed it.
Oh, lady, we waste time arguing like two parchment-dried philosophers. We are young.
My dearie, let me go hence.
Nay, love is kind, soft and gentle. What hast thou to fear?
Sorceress,
witch, whatever thou art. Beautiful statue, cold, glittering star. Your icy chastity burns into my very heart.
I pray thee, let me go.
Not till I possess thee, body and soul.
You can never defile my soul. He who gave me that soul will keep it inviolate. Unto his mercy and into his hands I commit it.
No. No, into mine. Mercy, love me, and you shall be worshipped as never woman was. Marcus, the proud, the tyrant, the master. Marcus is your slave. I kiss the hem of your garment.
No.
Love me. And I will load you with gold. Cover your beauty with rarest gems, but love me.
If you have mercy.
Have thou mercy? I love thee, love thou me.
Is thou man or devil?
Devil or man, love me.
Mercia.
Suddenly thou art surrounded by a great white light.
A sign. The master is with me. He has spoken. The cross defends me.
I kneel before thee.
Poppy, my Poppy.
Harpy here. The games in the circus for today. Oh, he is goodly sport indeed. Chariot and foot races, the gladiators, the mask of Venus, and best sport of all, the lions and tigers and 200 Christians. Signius, taste my wine. The beast, Digilinus, they have been well starved.
Aye, Caesar. Rome had never seen such a beast.
Good, good sport. When the sun goes down, we'll have the living Christian tortured all around the amphitheatre at a distance of 20 paces. Put stakes under their chins that we may see their faces. Signius, dost thou live? Oh, the wine's not poisoned, then. Give it to me. Tigellinus, the girl whom Marcus...
Arrested, Caesar, as you did command.
Good, good. Make a torch of her and place her near to Marcus's seat. They say she was cold to him. We'll see her afire tonight. What said he? What said Marcus?
He raved against Rome, the laws, and thee, great Caesar.
Ah. Did he dare?
Forgive him that, Caesar. This girl hath been snatched from his lips. He may rave, but he will be faithful.
Dost thou think so, hey, Pompey?
I do know it.
Well, I'm glad we cannot well afford to part with Marcus. But the girl, did she scream and plead for mercy?
No, Caesar. Mm-hmm. She was calm and said that she was ready.
Oh, strange the obstinacy of these fanatics. They die so calmly it robs the killing of them of half the joy. Well, what now?
The prefect Marcus would have audience of Caesar.
Eh? Well, Pompey?
Admit him, Caesar.
We will see him. What wants he now? Well, Marcus.
Hail, Caesar. Hail, lady.
What wouldst thou, Marcus?
Mercy, great Caesar.
For who?
An innocent girl.
Mercy, the Christian?
Yes, Caesar, mercy.
Oh, not innocent. She is accused.
By whom?
Well, by Tigellinus and others.
A jealous woman, Emperor, is not always a reliable witness.
Thou knowest, Marcus, she was captured at one of those secret meetings, caught in the very act.
Act of what, Tigellinus? Act of worship? Act of prayer and praise? What harm is there in these?
Their worship is a pretense, a cloak to hide their designs against Caesar's sacred life.
I am convinced that Caesar hath no more virtuous subjects in all his dominions than these Christians.
And thou hadst to fall in love with a Christian to gain that conviction? Marcus?
Yes, when one of Rome's fairest flowers awaits thee here, Berenice herself sitting at the right hand of our empress. And these Christians, Marcus, oh, they're gloomy, austere fanatics who worship a wretched Nazarene whom Pontius Pilate caused to be crucified between two thieves.
And testified he could find no evil
enough.
In him.
I am Caesar Nero. I have power over life and death. I have decided. This Mercia dies with the other.
Hear me, Caesar, hear me first. Around thy throne are many who serve for greed, not for love. The people groan beneath taxation. The army is restless.
Aye, Jupiter, thou art going too far, Marcus.
Lady, I appeal to thee. Dost thou believe me faithful unto Caesar?
I know thou art faithful, Marcus.
The hour of darkness looms close to thee, Caesar, and to Rome. In that dread hour, at least one faithful hand to guard thee and protect thee, even unto death, will be thine. If thou wilt but grant me this maiden's life. Caesar, I have never asked of thee a boon before.
Pompeia?
No.
No, we cannot, Marcus. She is a Christian. She must die with the rest.
But Caesar, Christianity is not of itself a crime.
Marcus pleads strongly. Is it possible that he is to turn Christian too?
Lady, I am almost persuaded to follow where I see such angels as Mercia lead.
Marcus, thou art very much in love indeed.
With all my soul, lady. Caesar, it is so small a thing for thee to give. Her life.
Really, Pompeia, I...
No.
No, we cannot, Marcus.
Thou canst! Caesar, this girl hath opened mine eyes. Christianity is not murder, treason, sin of any kind. It is love and peace. Goodwill, self-sacrifice, and charity. Caesar, for my sake, for the sake of Rome, for the sake of thine own welfare, give me this girl's life.
Pompeia.
No. No man or woman can profess Christianity in Rome and live. The decree of Caesar hath gone forth.
Then she must die.
Let her publicly renounce her faith. Then she may live.
Yes. Oh, then she may live.
And if she will not?
Oh, then let her die. We may die this day. Caesar hath spoken. Come, my dear. Come, Tigellinus.
Marcus.
Art thou still here, Berenice? Art thou content?
With what?
With the evil thou hast brought. Mercia will not renounce her faith. She knows not fear. She must die this day.
When she is dead, thy senses will return to thee.
When Mercia is dead, then will Marcus die too.
Others will live, though Mercia be dead. Marcus, she was no mate for thee.
From the beginning of time, she was my mate. The better part of me that killed the worser part lifted my soul from evil and degradation, opened mine eyes to light and truth. Mercia is so much my mate, so much the very breath and soul of me, that when she dies, she will take with her the breath and soul whereby I live. If she must die...
Marcus! What, after all, have I done? Not parted them. United them. Perhaps in death.
Tonight, to leave this bright and beautiful world.
For one more bright, Stephanus, more beautiful. Where there is no pain, no sorrow, neither persecution nor parting. Where happiness is and purity and holiness evermore.
The pain.
Think of his agony who died for thee. Fix thine eyes on the cross when the hour doth come.
I have not thy courage.
My courage is not my own. It comes from him. Look to him. He will give thee strength.
Come, boy, you're next.
Mercia. Stephanus, thou wilt not falter. Thou didst say that thou didst love me. If that be true, by all the love thou bearest me, by all the love I bear thee, by all the love the Master bears to all, be true.
Yes. He hath come to guide me as thou didst promise me. He is here beside me. Yonder I see the cross. I fear nothing now. He walks beside me.
Mercia!
What wouldst thou with me?
I come to save thee. I have knelt to Nero for thy pardon.
And will he grant it?
On one condition, that thou dost renounce this false worship.
It is not false. It is true and everlasting.
Nothing is everlasting. There is no afterlife. The end is here.
Art thou so sure, Marcus? Ask thyself if there are no inward monitors that silently teach thee there is a life to come.
All men have longings for a life to come, if it might be better than this.
It will be better than this, if this life be well lived.
Thou hast taught me that my life hath not been well lived. I knew not the shame of it till I met thee. Whence comes thy wondrous grace?
If I have any grace, it comes from him who died on Calvary's cross, that grace might come to all. I will gladly die for him who dies for me.
Mercy, I cannot let thee die. I love thee so.
Thou hast told me so before, and wouldst have slain my soul.
I was blind, but now thy purity hath cleansed me. Mercy, live and be my wife.
My wife? Thy wife in very truth.
In very truth, my wife. Thou wilt be my wife.
And renounce my faith.
That must be.
That can never be. Marcus, the world has passed away from me. And as on the threshold of that other life, all worldly thoughts are left behind, I have no shame in telling thee I love thee, Marcus. Have loved thee since first I saw thee next to him.
And thou wilt live.
I will be true to him.
I cannot part from thee and live. Since first I saw thee, I have been sorely troubled. Strange yearnings of the spirit come to me in the silent watches of the night. I battle with them, but they will not yield. I tremble with strange, unearthly fears, strange thoughts, strange hopes. If thy faith be true, what is this world? A little tarrying place, a tiny bridge between two great eternities, that which we have traveled from and that towards which we go. Only to know. Mercier, teach me how to know, and teach me how to keep thee ever by my side.
Look to the cross and pray, help thou my unbelief.
But keep thee ever by my side.
Give up all that thou hast, and follow me.
Follow thee. But whither? Well, Tigellinus.
Prefect, the hour hath come. Caesar would know this girl's decision. Doth she renounce the Christ and live, or cling to him and die?
I cling to him and die. Farewell, Marcus.
Not farewell. I too am ready.
What?
Return to Caesar. Tell him Christ hath triumphed. Marcus too is a Christian. Come, my bride.
My bridegroom.
We go together.
And so ends the General Motors Hour production of The Sign of the Cross, written by Wilson Barrett and adapted for radio by Richard Lane, in which you heard the following players. As Favius, Lou Vernon. Tigellinus, Max Osverston. Berenice, Babs Mayhew. Stephanus, John Hewitt. Servilius, Edward Heppel. Strabo, Lionel Stevens. Poppaea, Elaine Montgomery. Vittorius, Don Pasco. Nero, Stuart Ginn. Mercia, Coralie Neville. And as Marcus Superbus, you heard our star, Alistair Duncan. The General Motors Hour is directed by Harry Harper, who produced tonight's play. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, that next week we shall have another play in our series of the world's best plays. Now, this is John Deese saying goodnight to you all from the General Motors Hour, which now signs off from the Macquarie Network and cooperating stations throughout Australia.